Blog Talk Radio.
Be set free, be healed, be made whole at Miracle Temple. Deliverance Ministries, where miracles happen. Be set free, be healed, be made whole at Miracle Temple. Deliverance Ministries at Miracle Temple, where Christ lives in me.
Welcome to Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries, where miracles happen. Apostle Amanda Walker Bryant wants to make sure you get all that you need through the Word of God. Let us join Apostle Bryant as she teaches the infallible Word of God.
He has already worked it out, no matter what it looked like, no matter what it appears to be. I'm here to tell you God has already fixed it. So that's don't look in the natural. God wants you to look in the supernatural, and he wants you to see what he's already done. Come out the natural and get into the supernatural. And as you get into the supernatural, you can bring it in the natural by faith. Amen? Turn with me to St. John, the first chapter. And I'm going to begin at verse 29. St. John, the first chapter, beginning at verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. I want to talk on today, how are you introducing Christ? How are you introducing Christ? How is Christ being made known through you? When the Lord had given me this message, and I began to meditate on what the Lord was saying, he would give me different examples on introductions. You know, we introduce a lot of people, and we cannot introduce those people based on hearsay and she say. We have to introduce those people based on what we know about that particular individual. Sometimes we will go on what other people say, but if you spend time with that person, with that individual, you will have your own introduction of that person. And that introduction that you make, people will know that you know that person. You have been with that person because it's heartfelt. Anyone can take a piece of paper and read off of that paper what someone says about themselves. But once you come in contact with that person, you're going to know everything that needs to be known about that person through spending time with that person. The Lord was showing me, even me and my husband, and he was showing me, how do you introduce your husband? If I come up to people and I say, this is James, that's all they would know about him. They would say, okay, this is James. But if I say, this is my husband, James Bryant, he's known as my husband. But then if I keep on with that introduction, I'll say, here is my loving husband. Here is the love of my life, James Bryant. The more introduction I give of my husband, the more they know how I honor him, how I respect him, how close we are, how connected we are. And when God gave me that thing, he was impressing in my spirit, most people get more introduction than he does. And that's how you tell who you've been with the most. If I'm introducing my husband more than I'm introducing Christ, that means that I have spent so much time with him that I'm forgetting who saved me, who laid down their life for me. That's how idols get set up around us, because we make people, we make things idols, and we begin to introduce those things, but when it comes to Jesus, we pull back because we say we don't know what to say about him. The reason why we don't know what to say about him, because we have not been with him. See, it's one thing just to be born again saying I'm missing hell, but it's another thing to have intimacy with the Father and spend time with him. So when you come come up on people, they know who you've been with, not only by what you say, but by how you act, how you react, how you talk, and how you smell. People say, smell, yeah, there's a sweet aroma when you've been with Jesus. There's such a sweet aroma that people know who you've been with last night. So this is what God is saying. How are you introducing Jesus? How are you introducing Jesus to others? You cannot introduce him the way that you need to introduce him unless you've been with him. And see, here goes John the Baptist. And we know that John and Jesus, they were kin, right? But John had never saw Jesus. You know, John was in Elizabeth's womb when Mary became pregnant. John was in there for 6 months. So they never really saw one another. So when John saw him coming, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." See, John knew him as the Lamb of God. And when you look at that lamb, you know that John had to know that he was the Lamb of God. And if we read further in Scripture, we will know how John knew that he was the Lamb of God. First of all, we know that lamb was slain for our sins. That lamb was Jesus, who knew no sin, who became sin for us so we could become the righteousness of God, according to 2 Corinthians 5:21. So we understand that Jesus had no sin, but he laid down his life for us. And this is where God's mercy come in. Y'all, God's mercy is not getting what we deserve. That means that he withheld punishment on our behalf. That means that when a person committed murder, God withheld that punishment, and that murderer actually didn't get what he deserved. What did he deserve? He deserved death, because the wages of sin is death. So the penalty was death. So when we look at God's mercy, and we see how God was so good to us, even when we didn't deserve it, but yet God came along after mercy. He gave us some grace. What did grace do? Grace is giving us what we did not deserve. That means it's like a judge in a courtroom. That judge acquitted that criminal. And after he acquitted the criminal, he said, "I'm going to reward you with $1 million. Come on, somebody. He didn't deserve $1 million, but because of the love of God, he didn't only justify us. He didn't only make the slate clean. He said, "But I'm going to give you grace to go along with my mercy." Meaning that my mercy is going to endure, Tony, forever and ever. It's going to be everlasting. He said, "I'm going to do all of this for you, yet you did not deserve it. And I'm doing it because I love you so, so much. I'm doing it outside of what you've done. I'm doing it not because you're good." Because the Bible said none of us are good, none of us are righteous, but God loved us so much, he gave his very best. That was mercy. And then, come on, grace came in and gave us healing, gave us every good thing that comes from God, even while we were yet in our sin. He said, "I'm going to give you new mercies every morning," meaning that your past, your present, and future sins, he said, "I already done took care of that. Jesus already died for that. So every day you get some new mercy, because I know you're going to mess up in this day. I know you're going to do something that you don't need to do." He said, "So I'm going to give you that." Isn't God so good? And here we are as Christians acting like we don't know about that mercy. Because when somebody do us wrong, we hold grudges. I'm here to tell you that if God held a grudge, none of us would be here. God gave us his love. It's a love that no matter what I do, no matter what I say, God ain't changing. He's not going to change his mind. So when John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world," John knew that none of them could do it on their own. He said, "This is the Lamb that's going to lay down his life for you, even when you don't deserve it. God is giving you mercy. He's giving you something that you do not deserve." And that's enough for us to say, "Thank you, Jesus." So see, when we know God's mercy, when we know his goodness, when we know his loving kindness, when we know his faithfulness, we will turn away from what we're doing that's not like God. And it reminded me of Moses. Moses knew God acts, but Moses didn't know God ways. But it was a day that came when Moses said, God, show me your glory. He said, I need to know your way. I know your acts, God, but I need to know your way. And God said, Moses, I'm going to allow all my goodness to pass before you. And what he mean was God was showing him his characteristics. He was showing him his mercy. He was showing him his loving kindness. He said, I'm going to let all of this pass before you, Moses. So Moses got to know God's ways, not only his ways, but his acts. How many of us know we can see the power of God, but that's meaningless unto us until we get to know who God really is? Until we get to know his ways, and then when we see a miracle, we can appreciate that miracle more because we're saying, I didn't even deserve to live. But because of God's love, because of his goodness, because of his mercy, that's why I'm here today. So John knew, behold, the Lamb of God. It was a lot to that when John said that. Because John made him known by the Lamb of God. He was introduced to them. He said, this is the one that's going to save you from your sins. But the thing that got me in the next verse, after John had said this, he said, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. God got me on this verse because God said, he introduced me as the Lamb of God. But this is what John had to do to bring that introduction to life. John had to forget about John. See, the problem is we're saying we're introducing Jesus, but we're in the picture. We want people to see us, hear us, and be attached to us because there's rejection in there. But John said right here in the Word of God, he is preferred before me. This is why John said in St. John, the third chapter, he said, I must decrease where he must increase, meaning that John says he's greater than I am. So if we don't decrease, God will not be able to increase on the inside of us so people will know that he is God. So if you are introducing him and you're still in the way, he's not getting the proper introduction that he should be getting. It's a lot of people that want to exalt themselves above God. You're not God. And one thing that I love is God chose me. I didn't choose myself. So I had to let go of myself. He had to say, Amanda, you have to deny yourself. And you got to take up the cross and follow me. Your life is not your own. That's why when they were singing that song, I give myself away, that means, God, I have to give myself away. Why? So you can use me. Remember when Jesus was getting his followers? What does follower mean? Follower of Christ, meaning that they were following him. They were learners of Christ. They were learning from him. Why were they learning from him? I believe just like children, when we raise our children, we train them up in the way that they should go. They're learning from us, and they're learning our ways. So the Lord was giving me another illustration. When I go places and people will look at me and they say, I know you. You a walker. And then I say, yeah, no, I'll say, yes, but I'm a Bryant now. Then they'll say, who your daddy? And then I'll say, his name is Elijah, but they call him Skeet. Oh, yeah, I know Skeet. Then they will begin to talk more. Now, the introduction is, you a walker. Yeah, I was a walker, but now I'm a Bryant. Who your daddy? My daddy's Elijah, but they call him Skeet. We can keep on, and it'll be a long introduction, wouldn't it? They would keep on bringing things up and say, well, are you kin to so-and-so? Well, do you know so-and-so? And then they'll say, oh, yeah, I know you, your daddy's child, because you acting just like he would act. You doing what he would do. You saying what he would say. You don't bite your tongue either, do you? Yeah, you Skeet's daughter. So, see, people know you, and you're made known by where you come from. And then some of us don't want people to recognize who our family is, because some of our family be tore up from the flow up, and we be lying all over the place. We don't want to tell them, that's my mama, that's my daddy. We don't want to reveal that. But I'm here to tell you, when you get born again, you don't just stop at just being born again. You have to go further into the Word of God to know who you are now that you're in him, not knowing knowing who you are now that you're in him, but you got to know who he is. You got to know him as a loving father. And as you know him as a loving father, that's what you're going to introduce him as, a loving father. No matter how I messed up, my daddy loves me. My daddy appreciates me. I'm no longer unworthy. I'm worthy because of my father, because of my daddy. See, I call him Abba Father. See, we have such a relationship that he know when I'm down, and he just lifts me up. Even in my mess, even in my filthiness, my daddy just lifts me up, and he tells me how much he loves me and how much he appreciates me. He told me to come to him just as I am. He loved me just as I am. And when we begin to introduce him the more, they would be like, I want to get to know your daddy. You have a loving daddy. So when you introduce him as a loving daddy, it's because you've been in the word and you know how loving God is. So everywhere you go, you showing the love of God. Some of us may introduce him as a giver. And people look at us and say, you give all the time, even when you don't have nothing. You continue to give. Why? Because he gave to me first. He gave his very best. He laid down his life for his son. So who am I not to give? I come from my father, and if he's a giver, then that's who I am. I'm a giver. In spite of what I have, I'm giving. And the Bible tells me when I give, it shall be given back unto me. See, when you are introduced to him as a giver, and you get to know that giver, you're going to give. See, the problem is people say they know him, but they are out of line with him. See, when I know him, my walk change, my talk change, my actions change. See, when I know him, I bless those who curse me. I love those who hate me. And the first thing they say is, you must be saved. Because ain't nobody can do what you do, not unless you are saved. You are setting an example for the world. Even on your job, you don't do like they do because you're supposed to make a difference on that job. You're not only on that job to get a paycheck. You're on that job to introduce Jesus. And every opportunity you get to introduce him in your actions, in your ways, in the way you talk, in the way that you walk, people are going to know that you're totally different. I can tell you that when I first got introduced to Jesus, my heart was just melting because I wanted to know so much about him. It's like I just wanted to grab him all at once and say, God, I want everything that you have. Just pour it on me, Lord, pour it on me. And I remember I was hanging with this group of girls, and we would sit in the cafeteria, and we'll watch people come by, and we'll start talking about people. Look at that right there. They know they shouldn't come to work like that. They know they shouldn't have done this. They know they shouldn't have done that. So, but when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, y'all, I didn't feel right no more. I didn't feel right sitting at the same table no more. I didn't feel right putting nobody down no more. The only thing that I felt was compassion for the one they was talking about. So change did take place, but I didn't understand that change. I didn't want that way of living no more. So they noticed she ain't talking no more. She done went silent on us. And it got to the point that I left them, and I only had 30 minutes for lunch, and I went and sat with somebody else that knew the Father the way I knew the Father. And it got so good, I didn't even want to return to work. I'm like, wow, do I have to come back up in here, God? But God was letting me know, the more you know about me, the more you can introduce me to the ones that don't know about me. And they're going to want what you have. But if you snap in them the way they snap in you, they're going to consider you as one of them because that's what the world does. But if you turn in the other cheek, they're going to say there's something wrong with her. She's turning the other cheek. She's supposed to have come up on me by now. See, God is letting you know that he is your present help in the time of trouble. You don't have to fight your own battle. The battle has already been won through Jesus Christ. That's why he told Moses, stand still and see, Tyson, the salvation of the Lord. This battle, you don't even need to be to fight in. So the problem with us is we say we know him, but when we get into different situations, people know really how much we know the one that we've been talking about. So John knew him as the Lamb of God. But John had to get rid of John in order to introduce him the way that he needed to be introduced. I'm telling you, y'all, people that have really fell in love with Jesus, they cannot be around people that's acting out of character. They cannot be around a person that's in the world and they're not of the world no more. They're in it, but they're not of it. So ain't no way that you have known Jesus the way you say you have known him, but you're still tangling yourself with what the world is doing. There should be a separation. Why? Because how are we going to introduce him if we're doing what they do? There should be a change, y'all. And that change should be so evident in our lives, it's either going to draw them or drive them. It's no way that you can stay in that mess if you know him. So the thing that God is presenting today is the way you introduce Jesus is showing how much you know of Jesus. And I remember on my job when I was going through, you know, we can make introductions of Jesus and we can make it sound so good because the Bible says that we praise him with our lips, right? But our heart is far from him. See, you can get into the Bible and have head knowledge, but if it's not heart knowledge, it don't mean anything. How do you know the difference between heart and head? Because if you go back to the same pattern that you have always been doing, that's head knowledge. But when that word get into your heart, it's going to come out your mouth in a way that people are going to know that you know him and that you're known of him. So this is what happened to me on the job. This is how I knew that I was not in the place that I thought I was in with Jesus. When you get demoted and you lose money, that's when you really know where you are and who you are and who you've been with. At that time, I thought that I was in a place with God. I thought that I was introducing God by the way I knew God. But each time that I got into a situation, I learned more about God. And I learned how to stand even when I thought that I could not stand. Even when I thought that I needed to throw in the towel, the more I went into my secret place, the more I cried out to God, God was made known unto me. And I remember when God was made known to me as Jehovah Jireh. And as God was telling me, I'm your provider. I'm the one that's going to take care of you. See, I always looked at the paycheck. I thought I was looking at God. Come on, y'all, let's be real. When we got money in the bank, yeah, we'll give God a few hallelujahs. Amen? Yeah, we're willing to give then. But when that money start getting depleted, Athea, we forget that he is Jehovah Jireh. We forget who we have been saying he really is. It's easy to say, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. The bank get low, I don't hear Jehovah Jireh no more. You say, where is God? God is still there. God said he will never, ever leave you, nor shall he forsake you. He is your present help in the time of trouble. See, if you introduced him as Jehovah Jireh when you had money, why aren't you introducing him as Jehovah Jireh when you don't have money? See, Abraham had such a relationship with God. He heard God. And as he heard God, he obeyed God. And it got to the point that when he got his promise after 25 years, can you imagine God told you something and it took 25 years for that thing to manifest? But the thing was, it had already manifested when God said it. But it just had not been brought into the natural. So Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for what? Righteousness. So after he believed God, he went through those years of where he had to trust God. And y'all remember how old Lot went with Abraham? There was a separation there. And God told Abraham, I will be your exceeding great reward. Meaning God said, I'll be El Shaddai to you. I'll be God Almighty. I'll be the strong one for you. Meaning that I'm here for you, Abraham. So Abraham got to know him as El Shaddai. Why? Because Abraham was going through some situations and God knew fear was coming upon Abraham. He told Abraham, fear thou not. See, God knows when fear is coming. And when fear is coming, we supposed to be what? Walking in faith. Walking by what? Faith and not by sight. So Abraham got to know him by those names. But what did Abraham introduce him as? Almighty. So you cannot even make an introduction of God until you know who God really is in your life. It's so many people saying, he's Jehovah Rapha. He is the God that healeth thee. When you get sick, you don't know nothing about Jehovah Rapha. You know Tylenol. You know your physician. You know that phone number to that physician. You pick up the phone more than you go to the throne. You forgot that he was Jehovah Rapha. See, God know where your heart is. See, when you down and out, when you come to know him, you're going to stand on what you know. You're not going to let nobody change your mind. And when we say Jehovah Rapha, God is a God that healeth thee, it's easy to say that when your body ain't going through. Now, when your body is going through, you ain't thinking about no Jehovah Rapha. You thinking about relief. Come on, somebody. You thinking about where you need to go to get that relief. Then after you get that relief, God is a healer. God didn't do that. Man did it. You don't need, God don't need help. That means when God does something, he stands alone. Meaning that man didn't give you those pills. God didn't give you those pills. Man gave them to you to cover up your symptoms. And that helped you to get through the pain that you were going through. But when you're going through pain in your body and you say, I know you as Jehovah Rapha. You are the God that healeth thee. And God, you're a man that you shall not lie, neither the son of man that you shall repent. Have you not said it? Shall you not do it? God, you're not going to be made ashamed today. So, God, I speak that you have already healed. You have already delivered. You have already set free. And I'm standing on what you said and not what my body is saying. So I receive total healing today. I receive total restoration today. Y'all know what's going to happen. Your body going to cut up like it ain't never cut up before to try to say, who you God now? Who you God now? You better go get that. You better go get some help. Who you God now? Are you going to stand? Are you going to trust God? It's according to where you've been with God. If you've been in your word and you've been standing on that word, then you're not going to let anything take you from that word because you're going to say, Father, what would you have for me to do? He'll say, trust me. That's all I need. God, I'm going to trust you. God knows where you are. God ain't going to get mad if you pop a pill. He's still going to love you unconditionally. But there comes a time when the pills don't help you no more. There comes a time when man says, there's nothing I can do for you no more. And that's the time that we really stand because we know we can't get help from man. We have to get to that point of knowing God for ourselves even before it gets to the point where they can't help us. We have to stay in our word to the point that we say, God, you above man. You above anything in my life. So, God, I'm going to seek you first because you told me to seek ye first. The kingdom of God and your righteousness and all of these things shall be added unto me. That's why he says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So when the Lord was showing me, how are you introducing Christ? Y'all, as you go throughout your day, you don't have to say nothing half of the time because people know him through you because the glory of God is revealed through you. They see a light on you that they don't see anywhere else. They see the peace of God on you where they don't see anywhere else. And God has given me this vision of a person who's in a crowd. And this crowd found out that people on that job is going to get fired. They don't know who's going to get fired. But this mean person that's in the crowd that know him as Jehovah Jireh, that know him as Jehovah Shalom, meaning that God is my peace, that person is in that crowd, and there's a light that's engulfing that person. And they're standing out in that crowd, and they're saying, why are you so calm? Why are you so much at peace? And that's when you begin to open up your mouth and say, because I know him. I know him as my provider. This job is not my provider. God is my provider. I know him as my peace. He is Jehovah Shalom. He will keep me in perfect peace. Who mine is stayed on him because I trust in him. So that light is compelling that darkness, and people are getting introduced to him through you. Why? Because you let go of you. You let go of what the world was doing or what the world said. You saying he took care of me then, and he's going to take care of me now.
Thank you for tuning in to our broadcast on today. If you have a testimony on how this broadcast has truly blessed your life, please call us at 866 907-6836. If you would like a copy of the teaching in its entirety, at 866-907-6836. You may write us at Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries, Post Office Box 1042, Burgall, North Carolina 28425. Visit us on the internet at www.mtdm.org.